Morning and welcome to worship. I know it's not 10:30, but this is a notice to precede the notices. This week we have upgraded the sound system, but unfortunately there was no rent-a-mob available on Thursday for the engineers to set it with people here in the chapel. So you are the rent-a-mob this morning. And all of that is just to say that I will be setting the settings during the service. There will be blips. It will sound odd at times, but it's part of, I'm afraid, enduring this morning to get it well set up for the future. I hope I won't make too many mistakes. Can you please stay behind literally for 60 seconds at the end? I want to ask you two questions which are also important to setting up the system. Can I say, if you ever lead, preach, read or sing up the front here, will you please have a word with me, because we're giving everybody individual training on how to use the new equipment. And it's not all installed yet. My apologies, the flute mic hasn't arrived yet, and the singer's mic arrived late last night and I was too tired to unpack it and install it. But it will all be finally set up for next Sunday. So please don't judge the system by today. We are working on it in the week. Live stream finishes testing today and starts officially next Sunday. This is designed particularly, but not solely, for folk who can't come to worship because of age or illness. I know that there are at least two people watching on the test this morning, and I want to thank Rowena for partnering with me over the last few weeks and with Ron in setting up live streaming. And to say a big thank you to Ron, who has given me tremendous support in making it all happen. And to say, if anybody has a redundant smartphone or tablet that you would like to donate to the live streaming team, we know there are two or three people in the church who can't come regularly because of various reasons, good reasons, but don't have the modern equipment. If we can refurbish old ones and provide them for them, they could come back into worship. So if that's something you can give, please have a word with me. David, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
And, there you are. That's the new sound system. So I hope too overwhelmed. Additional notices. Thank offering is next week for the Alzheimer's Society and lifeboats. If you'd like to come to give for that, that'd be great. It's the final day today for signing up for the meal next week. And next Saturday, it's messy church again. It's the 18th, and it's at 9:30 for families. And if you're a family and like to come along, that would be great. So, a warm welcome to you all to Paignton Baptist Church. Also, a warm welcome to those listening online. This morning, Pastor Stephen Coles is away for his granddaughter's birthday. That'll be a good occasion, party this afternoon, apparently. He's asked me to lead this morning's service, and later Sheila will be speaking to us on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our theme is God's love for us and our response of living lives of love. Let's pray. We thank you, Holy Father, for the privilege of worshipping you this morning. Please help us, each one, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. We're going to start with that lovely hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Bible is full of verses which tell us of the Lord's great love for us. Here are a few. God is love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor depth, or height, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This morning in my Bible study, I was reading Psalm 136. And in that psalm, it says, amazingly, 26 times, the Lord's love endures forever, or his love endures forever. So let's respond to that as we worship the Lord. Please stand or sit as you wish.
Of love.
delightful to see all the children here today. And I'm just going to pray for them now. I believe they're going out with Debbie and Dee. So thank you very much, Dee, for Debbie and Dee. And let's pray for our children. Father God, we thank you that you love each member of our church, each person that comes along, however young or however old. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless the children richly this morning and be with Dee and Debbie and each child as they learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Have a good time, Jack, Joseph. To hear the herd of elephants going up the stairs. Pardon? Oh, do they not? Oh, well, there they are. Thank you for that. We've now got a new video. A song that was sung for the first time, I believe, at the worship time, His Mercy Is More. So let's sing together as we listen to the lyric video. Thank you, Joan. If you haven't come prepared to give this morning, that's fine. If you give by bank transfers, also, of course, fine. But the stewards will now wait upon us for our offerings. Thank you, stewards. Holy Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to give to you and to your work. We ask that you will take these gifts and use them for your glory. Amen. We're now going to have our Bible reading. Thank you, Liz.
Reading from 1 Corinthians 13, page 1154 in the Church Bibles. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Shia, if you'd like to come to the front. What if I pray with you?
Thank you.
Father God, I thank you for Sheila. I thank you for the person that she is, the woman of God. We thank you, Lord, for her ministry in sharing your word. And I pray you anoint her with your spirit as she ministers your word now. And help us, Lord, to listen so that we can obey. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. And the theme, obviously, today is, what does God's love look like? Now, some of you as individuals are very good at explaining when you meet somebody in town and you go back home and your wife says, did you see anybody? Oh, yeah. Well, what did they look like? I don't know. But some ladies are very good at remembering specific details. And I have a friend that's like that. And she can tell me what they're wearing and so on. It's not because she's nosy, but because she's observant. Now, I'm not like that. And she very often says to me, Shirley, did you see so-and-so? How are they? What were they wearing? What? I don't know, but they were all right. I want you to understand we're all different. But God's love for us is exactly the same. God's love for you is exactly the same as the one person next door to you. It's just as deep, just as strong. Now, our society today can give us a warped view of love. As we observe those around us, we may very well be learning that love is conditional. If you do that for me, then I will love you. That's what the world thinks. That it's based on feelings and that it's temporary. Well, I'll love you for a little while, but when it wears off, I'll leave you. And that was so nearly 20, 30, 40 years ago. Because I remember going to a wedding of a young person that worked in the same department as me. And there were two ladies sitting behind me. Bless their cotton socks. And that's an old phrase. You won't know what it means, but I won't tell you. But they sat there and they said, I could hear them saying, well, if it doesn't work, they can divorce, can't they? And they hadn't even got married. And I was a young person then. And I thought, how sad that these friends, they were friends, thought that if it didn't work, it doesn't matter, we'll get a divorce. It's okay, just do what you want. That's what the world's thinking is on love. It's temporary, or it can be. How can we cut through the world's distortion of love to see God's kind of love? We can see it in 1 Corinthians 13, describes the characteristics of godly love in practical terms. What a wonderful yardstick which we can measure ourselves. Now, some of you won't even know what a yardstick is. But my father taught me to pace a field out with a yardstick and striding out an actual yard. And I could do it very well. How do we measure ourselves? The Bible says in 1 John 4, whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. God is love. God's love for you is not just a warm feeling. You know, when little ones come up and give you a hug, that's a nice warm feeling, isn't it? Or a friend who's just hugging you because you're going through a tough time, that's a warm feeling. God's love is not just a warm feeling. God's love for you does not depend on your love for him or what you can do for him. God doesn't love you because you are so lovable, for in many ways we are not. And I'm not looking at anybody individually here. We're not. We can struggle with life. It can be difficult. God loves you because he chooses to love you. It is his decision and he has made it. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is teaching about spiritual gifts. There are a variety of gifts, and there are many other indispensable gifts, such as working miracles, healing, helping, administering or speaking, and interpreting tongues. No one person has them all, for God has made us to belong together. Just because you've been given a certain gift, don't look at somebody else's gift and think, oh, I'm better than them. My gift's much better than theirs. Please don't do that. Because the gift then becomes non-valid. It's void, hopeless. But together we make up the body of Christ. In this chapter that we're looking at this morning, it's a magnificent chapter, and I don't really have to say anything, because if you just read it and want to learn from it, God will fill you. It's sometimes called a hymn of love. It's printed on cards and posters and said at weddings. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Believing this wonderful truth allows you to become part of God's family. And once you are part of God's family, God wants us to love others. We are to choose to love others. Now, in the pictures this morning, some of you are very familiar with these pictures. We have a picture of God's hands, as it were, sending Jesus down for the whole world. Whatever nationality, whatever colour, whatever, God sent Jesus for the whole world. And we only need to look at Jesus to know love and what Jesus did. He healed, he restored, he healed the blind men, restored them, restored their eyes. Isn't that amazing? I could tell you a story about eyes, but I won't at the moment. But what God has done, and the little children, I like that. Jesus showed God's love, and still does. Still does. He loves the children. And he showed that love by going to the cross for you and for me. So God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because you're a sinner. Ooh, Sheila, that's not a very good thing to say in church. We are sinners saved by grace. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But God, as we said, demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Believing this wonderful truth allows you to become part of God's family. You do not become part of God's family if you come 22 times through the door. That does not save you to come into God's family. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you come into God's family. Believing that wonderful truth allows you to become part of the family. Once we are part of God's family, God wants us to love others. And we choose to love others. Those of you that work with children over many years know what that's like, to love a child that is difficult, or challenging is the word they use nowadays, which is fine. Each child is challenging. And you are a child of God. You can be challenging too for other people. Do you realise that? It's not just children. We can be challenging to other people. Well, why do they do that? I don't know. But he wants us to love others. We are to choose to love others. Not because of how we feel or because they love us. Rather, we are to choose to love them because God's love for us. When we choose, remember it's a choice. Don't blame God if you don't love somebody. It's not his fault. It's yours. Ooh, Sheila, you can't say that. Yes, I can. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is within you, and that Spirit is love. So the love is there. But if you choose not to love somebody, that's your choice. Not God's. When we choose to love others, we show that love by our actions. So in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 tells us what it means to know and to show God's kind of love. Love is patient. That's a challenge every day. I'm just being honest with you guys. That's a challenge every day. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Look at me, I'm a super duper Christian. I raise my hand every second chorus. Or I do this, or I do that. I've seen it happen in the past. Praise God that it doesn't happen or continue to happen like that. That's not what it's about. It's your heart condition. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It doesn't say it doesn't get angry. The Word of God says, in your anger, do not sin. It keeps no record of wrong. I've got a very close friend, and she's still a very close friend, but she remembers everything. Everything that when we were younger, she says, Sheila, do you remember you did such and such and such and such on such and such and such and such? And I'm standing there thinking, I haven't got a clue. I don't remember doing that. And she remembers everything. And some people are really good at remembering stuff. But always remember the good stuff. Don't remember the bad stuff that people do. Pray for them. Encourage them to do good stuff. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. I'm going to get my own back on them. What will they have said to me? That's not fair. They shouldn't treat me like that. I should be treated better. Love protects and defends others. If you've got children or grandchildren and you take them out somewhere, if they go to step out into the road and they haven't looked, done the highway code like we used to years ago, you grab them back again to safety. Love protects, defends others. Love trusts and has confidence in others. Love always perseveres. Well, I loved you part of yesterday, dear, but I didn't love you in the afternoon. You know, it's a challenging thing to love somebody consistently. Challenging thing. Love trusts and has confidence in others. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. God's kind of love never stops loving. God's kind of love sent Jesus to the cross. And you might think, well, how can that be love? Sent his own son to the cross to die? That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But he died for a specific reason, for your sins and my sins, that we might have a relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And you couldn't wish for anything better, I have to say, after knowing him for many years. But Christ died for your sins. So God gave us his word to tell us about his love, and he also gave us a living example, as I said, which is Jesus. Jesus showed God's kind of love to people who lived on earth with him, and he continues to love you. That love hasn't changed. With God's kind of love, Jesus is patient and kind, as we said, Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Do you realize what that means? The riches of his grace. I deserve to go to hell because I was a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Are you saved by grace? Well, I haven't done anything wrong, so I haven't murdered anybody. I'm not like him down the road. That's what somebody said to me only a few months back. Sin. Don't like the word, do we, very often? But we've been saved by grace. His actions towards us, that's God's actions and Jesus' actions towards us, are always right. That's in Mark 10, 13 to 16. Psalm 145, 17. He delights in what you are becoming. Delights! Look excited, guys. He delights in you. And you say, what, me? Yes, you. Yeah, we get it wrong sometimes. But we come back to the cross and say, sorry, Lord, help me not to do that again. Show me a better way of dealing with that situation. And he will. You have to ask. His actions towards you are always right. He delights in you. Hebrews 13, 21. He always treats you lovingly. There's nothing more amazing in the human conception of seeing a mum or a dad or a family member that you haven't seen for ages, and the arms go out and they hug. Now, you may have not experienced that situation, but all I can say to you is God loves you like that. Even though you may not have experienced it in your own life, God loves you with that massive hug that only he can give, because only he knows what's going on in your mind and your heart. God always treats you lovingly. He takes pleasure in meeting your needs. And there are many here that can witness to that, God meeting our every need every day. Philippians 4:19, he wants to forgive, not to get even. In the world, if something goes wrong or somebody says something, oh, I'm going to get even with that person. Well, I shouldn't get away with it. God's not like that. God's not like that. He wants to forgive, not get even. He concentrates on the good that can develop in you. And you might be saying, I'm looking at some dear sisters this morning, might be saying, well, I know I'm getting old, Sheila, but he can still concentrate in developing good within me. He still works, whatever age we are. He still works. He protects and defends. 1 John 2 verse 1. He has confidence in what he can do through you. He knows you can be a winner. Many years ago, I used to do running. I used to run a lot in athletics and so on and so forth. And brother there would appreciate that because he used to do it a lot. And to be the winner, to get to that line, wow. But we had to practice. We had to focus on where we were going. Do you know where you're going? If you were to step out of church this morning, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, I have to say this on so everybody knows, but if you go out of church this morning and the Lord suddenly thinks, well, I'll take them, and you die, do you know where you're going? Are you assured of where you're going? It's either heaven or hell. Heaven is where God is. Hell is where God isn't. And I know where I want to go, and I know that's where I'm going. But it's a choice. It's your choice. God never lets anything get in the way of his love for you. His love for you never disappoints. That's in Jeremiah 31:3. He still loves you no matter if you get it wrong. His love is still there. It's very powerful. So how about you this morning? And how about those who are listening? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, do you love others with God's kind of love? Try putting your own name in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Are these qualities true in your life? And I'm talking to myself, ladies and gentlemen, as well. Are these qualities true in your life and my life? You may be thinking, help, it can't be done. That's impossible, Sheila, you can't expect me to do that. And I would sympathise completely, other than the fact that all you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to fill you to be able to love whoever he brings into your area, you know, right in front of you. Are you willing to love the one? Sometimes we see a vast and we thought, I can't love everybody. No, no. Are you willing to love the one? Because that's where it starts. If you're willing to love the one, the Lord will start to bring others for you to love as well. Because love comes from God. So try putting your own name in 1 Corinthians 13. Are they true in my life? Are they true in your life? And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Love is, Paul describes love as utterly selfless and enduring, always providing and seeking the best for the loved one. I've been in this church many years and I've received lots of love over many years. And I praise those people that have shown that love to me. In the end, it is only this kind of love that will last. God's love. All the gifts that the Corinthians strive for will come to an end. Some churches and some places of worship, well, we do this and this is the best way to go. Any other way is not the, you know. No. Love. Love. You can love somebody into the kingdom. The word of God says, one day prophecy will no longer be necessary. Tongues will die out. Knowledge will pass away to history. But love will survive. Love is the most important quality of all because it is the essence of God. God can't change. He is love. And if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life, that love is within you. And you can use that love to reach others. Love is the essence of God. Paul reminds the Corinthians of what it's like to be childish. When we were children, our knowledge was very incomplete, and our behavior was self-centered and immature. When we grow up, we develop a more complete picture of the world and our place in it. So it is with growing up as a Christian. When we are young, we are busy with our gifts and our rivalries, and I can do this and I can do that and so on, because we're young. When we grow up, we develop the faith, hope and love of a mature Christian. Have you got that? Do you want that? You may not want it, and that's still your choice. One day our faith will be replaced by full knowledge of God. I can't visualize what that would be like. I know God as my Savior, my Lord, my friend. The full knowledge of God. Our hope will be fulfilled by the coming of Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back for those who love him. But love. There will always be love, because God himself is love, and we will live eternally with him. And I can't finish without doing that John 3:16, because that scripture says it all, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed, Sheila. Let's have a short time of quiet so we can respond to what the Lord has said to us this morning. Let's think about those challenging verses in 1 Corinthians 13. And let's ask the Lord to enable us to live out that life of love. It's a short time of silence. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Amen.
Amen.
Let's now sing our response song, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Thank you. Please stand or sit as you wish.
Thank you.
your time, chance to pray for those in need and situations we wish to pray for. Do feel free to pray either quietly or out loud. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can cry to you for all those in need. And we pray, you know, Lord, we long to see your healing power in our midst among so many. Lord, help us as we seek your face. Amen. 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 So we commit into your hands all those who we love and care for, and there are so many. We pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come and your will be done, that we'll see your healing power in our midst. And we pray too, Lord, for those who don't know you, that we may see more and more people turning to you. Amen. Shall we close our service by singing, Come Set Your Rule and Reign? Again, sit and stand, whichever you prefer. pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. Amen.
Ron, can you keep the live stream going, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can you all close your eyes, please? Thank you. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up on one of the three. First, it was not loud enough. Two, it was about right. Three, it was too loud. It's one, quiet. Two, okay. Three, too loud. Ready? First of all, those who would vote one, those that would vote two, and those that would vote three. Excellent, thank you. You may continue to copy and tea.
Thanks for doing that, Claire.